Recording.
Oh, good. This is where we'll just be silent. But yes, as I was saying, I've just had a lovely swim.
Oh, good.
I've rejoined the gym and because, you know, I need to sort myself out and went for a lovely swim. And I love just immersing myself completely in water.
It's wonderful. I remember in the little, you know, coronavirus break that we had last summer, Geraldine and I immersed ourselves in water in the sea.
Oh, it was
Wasn't
glorious.
That the best day?
I dream about it. I honestly dream about it and the sea and... Yeah, just getting neck deep in water is what I'm all about at the moment. Love it.
Love it.
But yeah, how are you? How's your week?
Good. Yeah. Well, apologies to the listeners in advance. Hopefully you'll never know, and you'll only know because I'm telling you. But we are having scaffolding put up on the front of our house right now, this minute, and they're noisy. It's a noisy job.
Are they?
So you may hear them. And so if you're like, oh, I'm listening to my podcast, but is something. No, it's here. It's my house. I'm having scaffolding.
The scaffolders are in.
Yeah, it sounds like a euphemism. Oh, babe, you got the scaffolders in.
Yeah, third time this week. Oh, God. Should we...
This is the longest before title section we've ever done.
Should we do the theme?
Let's. Right, should we just crack the heck on and having come back, leave again and play the jingle for Parish Notices?
It's like we've forgotten something in the other room. That's what this is. Just popping out.
Oh, what did I come in here for? Don't know.
Cue the theme.
I think that Gina
Never had off time so many days. Can I pass by? I'm going to have a jail time.
She's coming. Parish Notices.
Right. Parish Notice number one.
Yes.
It's quite a big, because it's wide-ranging. So I'll start big and I'll cone in. So starting big, the EBU had this fantastic idea in the wake of a pandemic. What they would do is they would get all of the entrants to pre-record a live performance of their song in their home countries. And worst case scenario, they would just stitch together those recordings of live performances and then get people to vote and make a Eurovision show without actually having to run Eurovision. What a novel idea.
What a great idea. That's such a great idea. If only somebody had thought of it last year. Oh, hang on.
If only, then we could have had a If YouTube was there, let us broadcast it ever, I could direct you to watch our hard work of last year where we did exactly that.
I think I might try it on a different platform. That's what I'm going to do.
YouTube hate us.
Yeah, they really do. Yeah. And I had to go screw to copyright tube. School. Screw tube.
Anyway, that was their plan, stolen from us. Well done, EBU. Yeah. Anyway, it's called Live to Tape. So everybody has to pre-record a live performance to tape to be used in the event that coronavirus prevents them performing at the contest. Yeah, for real. Now, Australia is the first country that will be enacting the live to tape protocol.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know, but Australia take this stuff really seriously. I mean, compared to us, you know, no one has died. Obviously, people have died, and I just want to say to the families of the people that have died in Australia, our sympathies, but compared to the UK, a very, very small amount of people have died. Because their government is taking it very seriously. Well done, them. But it means that it's too difficult for the Australian delegation to make it to the Netherlands, which is far away. Yeah. So they will be using their live to tape performance. And we have a quote from the artiste. Oh, do you know, I don't know how to pronounce her name. I'm going to say Montaigne.
Yeah.
Would you want to correct me, Jerry?
That's what I would say. I would say Montaigne.
Great.
Montaigne, yeah.
Montaigne, lovely. Anyway, the quote from her is, "I'm still absolutely stoked I can present Technicolor." So she's still absolutely stoked, and we wish her the best.
Did you see the announcement that they did on Instagram? So Eurovision shared the Australian announcement, and it was very funny, with Joel, I want to say Creasy, who's like a big Australian, comedian, and they do the Eurovision contest over there. So they do the, I think the build up and the competition over there, and then they present all their stuff over there. And they just basically, it was the Netherlands representatives in Rotterdam going, "Oh, we've got your dressing room ready," and then they were going, "Yeah, about that, we're not coming." It was just, it was very funny. I'll find it and I'll share it at the bottom of this. But it did make me laugh. And then I fell down a hole of looking at all his comedy stuff. And he's a very funny man.
Very funny.
You're welcome.
Man.
Yeah, very funny man. Go check him out. Oh, well, that's a shame. But it's good that they're going to do an amazing live performance, I reckon.
Yes.
I reckon she will.
I wonder if they'll be the only ones. I mean, obviously, it, you know, they're so far away, it is very difficult, I'm sure, for them to administrate it. But I wonder if they'll be the only ones. You know, I know that other countries in Europe have gone into another lockdown. So, yes, they may not be the only ones.
Yeah.
And it may just be like watching Fantasy Eurovision. I hope YouTube doesn't take it down.
Can you imagine? Somebody from Azerbaijan reports them. That's what happened to us.
Boom. Not bitter. Next piece of news is that the semi-finals are out. The order is out. In semi-final one, you've got heavyweights Russia, Sweden, Australia is in semi-final one, Israel is in semi-final one, Belgium, who we always love, is in semi-final one, Malta, who are, you know, one of the faves, they're in semi-final one, Ireland is in semi-final one. They struggle to get through to the finals without a homosexual gimmick. So they may struggle because that does seem like a tough field. Also, that's the semi-final with 16. Oh, that's the semi-final with 16 countries. The other semi-final has 17. So the odds are slightly better in semi-final one.
But it's still, that's a tough group.
Really tough.
That is a tough group to be in. Who's semi-final two?
Semi-final two, so it's all sort of countries that I would say that could either win or just not go through. So you've got, like, you've got Portugal, you've got Poland, you've got Austria, you've got the Czech Republic. Sometimes they win it, sometimes they don't even make it through to the final. So I think that's going to be the more exciting semi-final because you just don't know.
Yeah. Did you say Austria was in that one?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not. We can talk about that when we look at their song, but. I don't know how I feel about that song compared to his entry last year. It's like what we were saying last week, the people that are coming back. I am comparing them to their songs last year and going, that's not as good.
Do you know who we do have to say that about? James Newman. Boom.
No, exactly. We don't, because it is better. I was thinking about this today. You know our theme? What does James Newman do, man? Should we redo it? It's a different song.
Oh God, effort.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just gonna leave it. Well, let's leave it and then
let's leave it. Well, it's the next piece. Let's try and riff something in 10 minutes.
Okay.
I'm doing that in my head instead of paying attention. Yeah. Right, yeah. Next. We've just had, on the 4th of April, the 40th anniversary of Bucks Fizz winning the Eurovision Song Contest.
Yes.
They won in Ireland on the 4th of April in 1981. To celebrate, they had an online gig. There's no point in us really telling you about that because it's been and gone. But they are planning on a live show, COVID allowing, later this year.
Good Lord.
And if you love Cheryl Baker, not Cheryl Baker and the guy, then there's an interview with only the three of them, the three that are in the Fizz, because the other guy, I think, stayed in Bucks Fizz, and so he has the rights to Bucks Fizz, and they're now the Fizz. Anyway, yeah. Very complicated. There's an interview with them on the Eurovision YouTube page, which we will link to.
Yes, we will. And we should try and get tickets to the gig.
OMG, yes.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Press passes. We'll get press passes.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes. Look, Cheryl Baker or not Cheryl Baker will come on this show, right. Surely.
Yes.
I mean, not if we call her not Cheryl
Definitely
Baker.
Definitely not Cheryl Baker. We know that your name is Jay Aston, but yeah, we'd like to call you not Cheryl Baker. Yeah. So,
because it makes us laugh.
Yes. Any other business on Parish Notices? Jerry, AOBs?
Yes, actually. So, a new listener of ours, Robbie Carnegie. Hi, Robbie.
Hi, Rob.
He has answered our question about the Junior Eurovision, it wasn't really a question, it was more of a verbal diarrhea of about Junior Eurovision. So he said, it's been a thing for ages. The last couple of years, there hasn't been a UK entry, but there has been a Wales entry.
Ooh.
And they do a special programme on S4C to find the entrant song with Connie Fisher on the judging panel, and they sing in Welsh. I am all for this, and I'd like to watch this.
Yes.
He also says, tell Michael that I understood the Afton Cooper reference as a big Dallas fan back in the day, so you are now BFFs.
We are indeed.
And he says, I see that Plaid Cymru has an election promise to have a separate Welsh entry to actual Eurovision.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Increase our chances.
Yeah. I mean, I want to move to Wales, become Welsh. I've been on the Duolingo for Welsh as well as French, but we can't talk about that this week, I've promised. so, you know, let's just go there and maybe they'll take, it sounds like they're taking Eurovision seriously if they're putting it in their election promise.
That's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, but thanks for that, Robbie.
Yeah, actually that's number one, thank you, Robbie. And secondly, that is a good point. Boris Johnson's all like, oh, I'm here to save football. Why don't you save Eurovision, Boris?
Yeah.
Think about important things.
Yeah, who cares about football? No one.
Yeah.
No,
you couldn't save the EU, but you might be able to save Eurovision. Yeah. So roll up your sleeves.
And imagine that. That's what I'd want as my legend. Saved Eurovision. Yeah, exactly. He should do something. But yeah, that is it for Parish Notices.
Right. Next we have... Okay, I'm going to try something. This might go horribly wrong. What should James Newman do, man? No, that's not at least work. But you see what I'm going for?
Yeah. Should we play? Shall I play the other theme? And then if we
for
one
today.
By the end of this, look, we're just going to play a
what
theme
should
now.
James Newman do, man? It's roughly there. Anyway,
it's there.
Play the
old one. Let's record it properly at the end.
Okay.
I'll put the other one in now, or I'll put a one in now. If we've recorded it at the end, unless Michael dies, don't die. You're gonna get a theme now.
What should James Newman do?
Man.
What should James Newman do? Man. Dooman. It's not gold, man.
Right. So what I think this actually was submitted by my former hating of Eurovision husband, Mark, who says that what we need to do is make the best of our entry, which means no, dressed all in white, step-dicking BBC backing singers. Like, actually stage it, because everybody else actually put some effort into staging their song, and we just pop out like it's the song before the lottery ball is drawn. So let's actually put on a show. That's what James Newman should do, man.
Yes, I agree.
I mean, I know he's an avid listener, and he writes down all of our thoughts.
Hi, Mark.
Which is how we got this great song.
Yes.
Oh, I meant James.
Oh, damn it. Hi, James.
Hi, James.
Yeah, he does. Well, I'm going to collect them. I'm going to collect them and then just send them all through, like last year.
Text them over. How do we think he should stage it? I think he needs like fire, like coming up out of the stage, like, and like it needs to be like a rapper video.
It's like out of the embers. He actually needs to come out of the fire.
Exactly. And then I think he needs no backing singers, but backing dancers wearing not very many clothes and sort of like writhing and twerking all over the place
Could they wear flame dresses in the style of Gina G? Like that, but instead of like sort of compact discs, instead of like the things she's wearing, it's like fire. Could they be in fiery dress? Just all dressed as flames in a kind of leotard, like the Russian entry, the guy from the Russian entry. Could they be dressed as flames?
Yes, that is much better. Scrap slutty backing dancers. We want like interpretive dance. You are fire. Dressed in, you know, like orange leotards, rolling around as fire.
Now, I know that Amy, friend of the podcast, is listening. And she is quite the illustrator. So, Amy, if you are listening to this, could you do an illustration of the contemporary interpretive fire backing dancers, please? And then we can share it with the world. But just so that we've got something concrete to sort of send to Derek when he's staging. Yeah.
Good idea. Now, should James dance on and dance off, or should he just be preset?
I think he should be preset under the stage and come up through the embers, up through the stage with the people around him, and then they should all dance off together as flames. He becomes the flames.
Lovely. I like that. And also I like that we are keeping a bit of the dance, because obviously we are in the Netherlands. Yes. So, you know, paying homage to the hosts. So maybe he could be dressed in something, you know, like very UK, all in black or all in white, but then he rips it off and underneath he is dressed as fire as well.
He could be like, maybe he could have like several changes. So, you know, like he could be burnt like embers, like black, and then that rips off to like white hot. And then that rips off to like shimmery, orangey, flamey stuff.
Mon Zemeloff, this is amazing.
I'm sketching it. I'm sketching it now. Look, if he doesn't do that, we should at least, while watching Eurovision, have these costume changes. And we should probably make some flame type outfits. So, you know.
It's at least.
Yeah, at the very least. And we'll be together, so we could do a tableau for our social media.
The social media?
Yeah.
You lucky lot.
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited about this. It's given me some purpose.
This is going to be the best.
Yeah. Oh. Brilliant. Well.
Right. Well, I think that concludes the segment. We'll come up with a new theme tune for next week. maybe. And or not. Sod it. Like, whatever. It's already mid-April. It's 27 days till Eurovision as we record this, which means it's 20 days until Ultimate Eurovision, which means we are very unprepared.
Yes. As usual, this is how we work, Michael. This is how we work. We will be, by the time this airs, we would have informed all the people taking part. So we should have our teams. We hope to do that today/tomorrow/Friday. I'm just saying slash at week. Some point before this airs. So yeah, we will let. We've told. We have got a few. We've only got probably half of the team. We've got enough people. We just need to tell them. It's us. It's us being disorganised. But yes.
Yeah.
We will
sort it out. We sort it out.
Yes, and then we can sort our stuff out because we can let them go with it. They can do what they want, and then we can sort our stuff out so we're prepared. And I was thinking about it. I have plans, but I won't talk about it on the podcast because they might not happen.
Spoilers!
Yes. And also, people go, you said you're going to do this. Yes, yes, I did, but but I didn't. But yeah, very excited. We will let you know. You should know by now. Yeah. And if you don't, then sorry. Yeah, nailed it. So what are we doing today, Michael Watson Gray? Oh, that rhymes. I might do another theme.
New jingle.
What are we doing today, Michael Watson Gray?
Right, we're going to look at the three bookies' favourites for 2021. Yes. And then we're going to do our forgotten winners. Ooh. So cracking on with the 2021 profiles. So according to the bookies, the top three are Malta, France and Switzerland. Now here's a nice piece of trivia for you. All three songs, I mean, I've not heard them, but going from the titles, I'm presuming all three songs are en français.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I think the bookies have decided it's high time that we have a winner in the French language.
Yeah.
So I thought we could play them, listen to them, and then talk about what we think about them. How about that, G?
Definitely. I am all over that. Should we crack on with a bit of Malta?
Yes, Malta. So it's Destiny. She's returning. I don't know if you remember, but she came second. In Fantasy Eurovision, didn't she? Yes, she did.
Yes.
In Fantasy Eurovision. So this year, she's back with Je Me Casse. So baby, inside of me, baby. Yeah, I'm too good to be true. There's nothing in it for you. So if I show some skin, doesn't mean I'm giving in. Natural, baby. Je Me Casse.
A French song.
No, just a French phrase in the chorus.
Just a French phrase, which means I break. Je me casse, yeah. Thanks, Duolingo. My favourite bit was where she went, excuse my French.
Yes.
Yeah, it was wonderful. It did make me laugh. I love her. So I love her. I think she's great. I love watching her. I don't know. This song is going to really grow on me. I know it is. I think it's really playful.
My first reaction is I don't know that it doesn't feel like a winner. Like, you know, sometimes you hear songs and you're like, oh, that's going to win. Yeah, it's a good song. It's a really fun song. It jumps all over the place. It's really eclectic. She does a lot in 3 minutes.
Yeah. It's very Lizzo at the near the end.
Mm.
I can't remember the bit, but it was really like a Lizzo song. But yeah, I think it's really playful and fun. I don't know how they're going to stage it. I feel there's a circusy theme with it. And I hope that they just have that topless man that she was just stroking at the beginning. Just have him on stage so she can stroke him.
And replace him with a topless Tom Leib.
Yes, yes, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, but I mean, I like it. I don't think it will win. Are they in the first semi-final?
I think, in the first semi-final. No, they're in... Yes, they're in the first. They're in the tough semi-final.
But also, they're the favourite.
Yeah.
That's the favourite.
But by a margin.
Yeah. So all the... I'll do this for next week. So all the sort of fan clubs around Europe have started releasing their they've done a vote. So they do this every year. The UAE or something. I need to remind myself. But each country, their fan club has a vote, and then they give the top 12 of who they think will do well. I've only seen, I think the Netherlands have released theirs. I need to check, and I think Portugal were releasing theirs. I need to check. I'll see how many are done by next week, and maybe we can look and see what the fans of each country are saying. But Malta's always pretty high. And it's great. Like, I love her. Like I said, I really like her as a performer. Do I prefer it to last year's? I think maybe last year was felt more of a winning song, and it certainly did really well with our juries. But this is fun, and I know it's going to grow on me, and it's very, it is very catchy.
Also, it's about what it's up against, isn't it? There's another 40 odd songs that we haven't heard, and if this is better than them, then it should win.
Exactly that.
It says, just popping in from the office of the Bleeding Obvious, and I'll be off now.
Good day. If people vote for it, it will win. I do like it.
Yeah.
And I would listen to it, and it's fun, but I don't think it's I'm not even going to say I don't think it can win, because it could win. We don't know.
Yeah.
And it's the favorite. Interestingly, it's the favorite for a reason.
Do you know, it sort of has a sort of feel of like a Netta feel about it. And I remember at this stage we played the Netta song and we were like, yeah, I mean, I can see why people would think it would win, but I don't know that it's a winning song for me, per se. It sort of feels like that again, which means it will win.
Exactly. It's going to win. We know nothing. So I was saying to Michael, and I can't remember, I don't think I spoke about this on last week. I think we spoke about it separately, not on the podcast, because that's what we do. We just talk about all our interesting things off the podcast. So if anyone is on Clubhouse, I've joined Clubhouse, which is a new social media thing. And it's like a kind of live podcast, really, in a way, because you can set up rooms and then people can come in and listen. They can speak if they want, or they can just listen in, and you can have discussions and stuff. And I've joined all the Eurovision ones. Actually, the last couple of weeks, I haven't managed to go to any of them, but it's really interesting. Meeting these new people and chatting to them. And there was one, we were having a discussion about, I think, Austria, Serbia and the UK, their tunes this year. And basically, I think apart from the UK, where we all agreed, I think on both the other songs, what I thought was completely different to what I was there, like talking about them going, yeah, I think last year's was better. And they were like, no, this is brilliant. I love it. But it just made me realize, like you're saying about Netta, and we were like, yeah, that actually, you know, although I do think our opinion is the be all and end all, apparently people have other opinions, and
it shocked me. Snowflakes.
But it was really good to be in these groups and get out of my little Eurovision bubble and speak to other people. So hello to all those lovely people that I've been chatting to. If they're listening to the podcast, they might not. They might hate me because I disagree with them. But it's really interesting. And if you are a Eurovision fan, get in. There's some really interesting information. There's people that know a lot. It's very interesting. So that's my two penneth on that.
Boom.
Who are we looking at next?
Next, we're looking at France, which is not Tom Leave, it's Barbara Pravi.
And she's still just as hot.
Oh, yeah. The song is called Voila, and I have a non-Eurovision but cute story to go with this. My son is very slowly starting to talk, and he uttered his first French word the other day, and it was voila, and he really enjoys saying voila. He likes to say it a lot, voila, voila, voila. So we have this book. If you have children, it's an excellent book. It's called Tiger in a Tutu, and it's set in Paris about this French tiger who wants to do ballet. And a couple of times in the book, someone says voila, and he really likes going, Bella.
Oh my God. Or is it that he's talking French, or is it that he's predicting the winner of Eurovision?
Well, I mean, maybe he's going to become our new, sod the odds. We know where to go for our inside track information.
Yes, we'll get him on. Let's see. If France win, he's definitely on the podcast next year.
Boom. And we're just, he's got his own spot.
Yeah, yeah.
Toddler's predictions. We'll do a jingle.
Thinking of it now. Let's go watch Voilà.
Voilà. C'est peu de choses, mais moi, tout ce que j'ai, je le dépose là. Voilà.
I absolutely love it. I'm obsessed. Also, there is a comment under the YouTube video where somebody said, this is the Frenchiest French that France has ever Frenched. Honestly, it's just, it is so French. Everything about it is so French. And it's amazing.
If I could pick another career, it would be, you have to watch the music video, guys. It would be to be one of those masked dancers on the train. You know, the first one, the one who comes out and throws himself dramatically on the window of the train and then disappears back into the cabin and then comes back up. I mean, it's so such wanky shit, but I love it. Eat it up.
It's just, honestly, this is my favourite so far of the that we've seen.
I love it, and that's because, you know, for example, it looks French and it's just effortlessly cool, the music video, and I love a concept dance, so it's got, you know, masked concept dancing backing dancers, which just is so my jam. What I fear is that how will that translate on stage when they're not in, you know, like an abandoned 1940s train with lots of atmosphere.
Or like an intimate sort of cabaret club where that could sound, you know, and that's what it kind of lends itself to. And it's in my
now. It sort of feels like, you know, or we've got one time for one more song before the Nazis get here. Like, let's go mad.
And then they get dragged out at the end, as the end of the number. But... my God, like, as much as I love Tom Lieb, and I do love Tom Lieb, this song is 1,000 times better than last year's song for France.
Sauce Tom.
Love Tom. They were playing a different game last year. They were playing the hot guy on top of the Eiffel Tower last year, and I was there for it, and he could do no wrong. But this is something else. It's so good. And now I'm kind of in love with her. And this is quite, it's quite shocking for me because I am actually straight. I don't know if I am, actually.
It's a spectrum. Sexuality. Am I?
On that bombshell.
Should we have a quick sneaky peek at Switzerland?
Go on then.
So it's, again, I need to learn my pronunciations. Is it Gjonstiers?
He says it somewhere. We'll find out and we'll say it properly.
We're going to go with Gjon for now. Gjonstiers, and the song is Tout l'univers. Pretty blah.
Yeah. You know what you were saying earlier? You know what you were saying earlier about having winner written all over it?
Yeah.
Like that, I can see, I'm like, oh yeah, okay. I can see this as the winning song.
Yeah.
His voice is...
He's amazing.
Amazing. Like the range and the flexibility and his tone is just gorgeous. But it's really like Arcade, Duncan Lawrence.
Yeah.
Like, really like it. The style and the... I really like it. Just thinking about the from Arcade.
It's like he's taken Arcade and his song from last year, merged them together and come up with this.
Yeah. Two Unlimited used to do that with their hits. If you listen to them, they're all the same. They're either just like, they've reversed a phrase. It's like that. He's just taken somebody else's hit. And so I think it will do him a favour, it being 2 years since that.
Mm.
But if it was immediately afterwards, if this song was immediately afterwards and they were playing, because Duncan Lawrence is going to play Arcade at this, surely he has to, because that's the last winning song.
Yeah, we don't want his new single. We're not interested in new rubbish. Yeah,
I know, although he's going to play that too, isn't he? But there will be a recap of his song, surely.
Surely.
So... And then this is basically the same song. And I'm not... It's a great song. It's a great song that it's what he does, what this... Goujon. It's what Goujon... It's what he does, isn't it? And his voice is amazing and it sounds amazing and it's, you know... Rightly, people are like, this is an amazing song, but I think it's too similar to what we've had. And I just feel like,
yeah, I wonder if he had that feedback already. And he was like, well, I'll just sing it in French and no one will notice. We noticed.
Yes. Just in French.
Also, gang, do not watch the music video. It's weird and disturbing. I'm going to have nightmares about that music video tonight. I promise you, I will dream about it and it will freak me out.
The jumping into himself.
Yeah. Himself. Choose life, man. Yeah. Just wear a nice t-shirt and dance around. That's what George Michael did. We still got the message.
Right, exactly. Just put it on a t-shirt. You don't need to be in a car crash.
That's no. Oh, no, I don't like that.
Yeah. But also, it did make me laugh that him... running back to the car when he got up off the road and he ran back to the car and it just made me laugh because he's not a runner, let's just say that. So he wasn't doing so whatever you feel about Tom Cruise, he can run on film and he looks good doing it from whatever angle you're filming him from. This was just slightly awkward. If you watch the view of him running to the car, he just looks a bit awkward. He's not really committed to running back to the car.
No, and you know, because actually what you can see is he's like, well, this is take six, and he's starting to get a bit tired, and he doesn't know if this is going to be the shot, so he doesn't want to go all out, because what if he's got to do it another three times? That's what I get from that.
It probably is, like the 10th time he's done it. He's like, surely you got it now, guys. Have you got it?
But I'm not going to go full out just in case. No, you have to go full out every time. Every time, Goujon, and that, my friend, is why you're not an actor. We go full out every time.
Every time.
I was in an advert where I had to eat an ice cream, and yes, some actors, maybe they wouldn't have eaten the ice cream. I ate 11 Mr. Whippies at 10 o'clock in the morning, and then I was sick. But that advert ran for 3 years.
And there's a moral there. I don't know what it is, but it's there.
Oh.
Well done. That's because you're professional, Michael. I had to do a self-tape this morning where I just had to say no a lot. In like on the phone, shouting across to people, just no in different ways of saying no. But I enjoyed it.
We should start a separate podcast.
Outtakes.
Tales of a self-tape. And we just talk about all of the insert. Like, I had to do a self-tape the other day where, oh my God, I can't believe this. I had to climb out of the window of my living room. So they wanted it in three different ways. And at the end of the scene each time, I had to climb out of the window into my front garden. So like one was sad, one was confused, and one was really angry. And it's like, yeah, yeah, well, sod you. You want to now climb out of my window. And I did this at 10 o'clock. I did this at 10 o'clock at night.
Oh my God, your neighbours. Have you must given think them I'm that mental. Sort of disclaimer?
No.
No, I'm an actor. I'm an actor.
Well, they know that, right. I suppose. They can put it together, can't they?
Yeah. Or you are just having a crisis.
But also, all right, I did it and it's ridiculous and I get to tell funny stories about it now. But, like, I used to live in a flat on the third floor of a building. Like, what would I have done if I still lived in the flat?
Yeah, how do you climb out the window and then holding a press cut? I'll come back in. But yeah, there was one I had where I had to trash my lounge. Like the description was trash the room. She gets so angry, she throws her laptop, trashes the room, and I'm like, I'm not gonna do that.
No, I can't afford a new laptop, so.
Yes, not breaking my laptop, because then I can't send you the self-tape. Anyway, sorry, we digress. Shall we? Do you know what? I'm going to put in a little sting here, and then we can crack on.
Before we sting, just to wrap up, I think we're voting France from the top three.
Yes, France, 100%.
Boom. Right, and now, 46 minutes in, let's get to the content of the episode. Preamble done. So, we're looking at Forgotten Winners, inspired by, I can't remember now, but Yes, we're going to look at it today. And I just thought, I don't remember this at all. So I've only gone back as far as the year 2000 because that's 20 years. And also that's the year of Don't Play That Song Again.
Yes. And nothing before that existed.
No. I think I've got a pretty good grasp on Eurovision before then.
Yeah.
But we can maybe do another show where we go back.
Yeah.
Like do the 90s and 80s and then do the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
I made a list of all the winners and then I highlighted the ones that I don't remember, not at all. And I sent it to Jerry and said, do you have any that you want to add? And we don't remember the same ones.
Yeah.
Now, I had a quick look through to make sure I really don't remember them. And I have a feeling the reason we don't remember them is they're not very good. But we will determine that in greater detail starting now. So the year 2000, we remember, which is Denmark, it's the Olsen Brothers, Fly on the Wings of Love.
Yeah.
They bested poor old Nicky French. So 2001, I don't remember, it is Estonia, and it's Tanar Padal and Dave Benton, very Estonian, with the song Everybody.
Let's check it out.
Okay.
I really wish that we had recorded ourselves, we had filmed ourselves watching that.
That would have been... Oh, we could have been together. Oh.
Oh my God. I'm actually crying.
Okay, I'll start. Right. So the song starts and Tanel, I presume, is singing. Great, good for him. And then Dave is just like, talking back what he's just said. So I don't even remember the lyrics, but it's like, hello, everybody, welcome to Europe. And it's like, hey, Europe, hi, everybody, welcome. It's like, yeah, we're back together again. Yeah, that's us, back together. It's like, mate, what are you doing? Let him just sing his bit. Stop being a knob. It's like, this isn't your verse. Stop, Dave.
There was just a beautiful, beautiful moment where he discovered his legs.
You know, you did the thing that Russia did last year with the sort of bendy leg thing. And it's like he discovered it and you can see him go, ah. And then he does it for the rest of the song. And then the backing singers, there was also a moment when the blonde one just, it was like, thank God the backing singers were there because it was like he just stopped singing. But he's meant to be singing, and he just kind of went, kind of. It's like he just wasn't singing anything. Thank God. But it looked like, because then I was like, oh, is he lip syncing? But he can't be. So it's just that the backing singers were all singing it, and then they just come forward and on the key change, which I'm all for the key change, but they just came forward and started breakdancing.
It was like, I mean, bear in mind this is 2001 anyway, but it was like peak 90s boy band performance from the backing singers.
Oh my God.
It was literally like they had employed East 17 to be their backing singers.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, that all that said, like, it's from a different time. It's, you know, it's from when Eurovision was a very different beast.
Yeah.
And, you know, we could pick apart individual things and they are all quite hilarious. We've even got onto what they're wearing. we'll come back to that. But actually the sum of all the parts, like, you know, the last minute and a half, you know, as a whole, as a song, and, you know, you are bopping along. I can sort of see why it won. If perhaps it was a weak year.
I was there thinking, I want to watch the whole of that contest. Maybe we should do that. Just to go, just to be like, okay, yeah, that was the one that deserved to win. Because I want to see what else was in there or whether somebody else was robbed. But yeah, wow.
Wow.
That made my face hurt.
So Channel, like Dave, I think was pretty, just dressed quite blah, you know, suit and open shirt. But like Channel is like, you know, he's got like the shiny purple shirt and it's not tucked in and he's got the spiky hair. Like it's peak 2001.
It really is. Oh, it's made me very happy.
So yeah.
Maybe it is the deserving winner, but I'm glad that we've popped down memory lane to that one.
Shall we
move on to, oh, it's the following year, 2002, Latvia. Yeah.
2002, Latvia. Do you not remember?
I wanna.
Let's remind ourselves. I wanna be the sunshine in your eyes. I wanna be the light from shooting stars. I wanna be the queen in your sweetest lies. I wanna be the last spark in your eyes. Really?
Do you know what? She reminded me of Uma Thurman in Smash when she's playing Rebecca Duval. That's what she reminded me of. She was not a dancer. I don't think any of them were dancers. It just looked very awkward.
No, even the dancers were just like Vaseline-smeared homosexuals.
Yeah, and then they did that weird thing, like, she wanted to make it very clear to people that she was not a lesbian. So she did the thing where, so she's dressed in like a white suit and a black shirt like the other dancers there, and they've all got hats on. And there's a bit where a female dancer comes forward and she's going, ay, 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 at her. And then they awkwardly dance, but she never really, apart from her hand, like holding her hand, she never touches her. There's a bit where I think she's meant to put her hand on her waist and she doesn't touch her because she's like, no, not a lesbian. And then obviously they strip her down to become a woman. So there's a lot.
And I would say the most raving of the dancers, for want of a better term, like he does this weird thing where he like sort of like tracks her body with his nose. I'm like, that's disgusting. And you clearly should know better.
Yeah. Maybe he doesn't.
Like, you mate, are kidding no one. Yeah. So stop it. You're going to get Vaseline all over that dress.
But I think she won on the reveals.
Yeah, definitely. So just before they started, I was like, I do not understand why this won. And then it was like, okay, gimmick.com. So yeah, basically they took all her clothes off and that's why she won. Yay, a different time. Yeah. I mean, it's not the most exciting song. It's all right, but it's not the most exciting song. It wasn't performed immaculately and the staging and dancing was twee and ill-executed, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, but she just got changed from a white suit into a sort of pinky reddy dress and that was it. So, you know. Fine, whatever.
Back in the day, that would be enough. Thing is, though, we don't even do that now.
No. Like, this is the point
we were making about what should James Newman do. I mean, that's essentially what we have told him to do. Start in a monochrome suit and end up dressed like fire.
To do a bit. I'll send him through that video.
Well, it won from that video, so you never know.
Who's next? 2004.
Yes, so 2003 was Turkey, which we remember. It was Everything I Can. So next is, right, so we've had a quick chat about this before coming live on air.
Yeah.
And it's Ukraine Wild Dances. And we both feel like we should know this. We should remember this.
Yeah.
But we don't. So it's on the list and we're gonna play it now.
See you in a sec.
Yeah, we remember this now.
Yeah, it's jogged our memories. It's it's Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Auditioning for Xena Warrior Princess, the musical.
Yes. I mean,
It's not the best vocal performance, but also she's dancing around like a demon.
And the atmosphere, you know, when they showed the stadium, the atmosphere in that stadium, which was huge, by the way, I was just thinking, I would have loved to have been there for that. Like, the atmosphere at this song. I don't know where it was. Did it say on the thing where it was in the...
Turkey won the year before, so it'll be... I think it was in Istanbul.
Yeah, because it was... They were... Oh, and they were 19 in the... Is it 19 or 10?
Yeah, have you noticed?
Oh, 10. So they were 10.
Oh, okay, were they? I was going to say, the last two songs... You know, they weren't particularly great, but they won. They were like 22 and 23. And like, I think people just come stumbling from the pub and they just pick their favourite of the last four songs that they see. Because this was in the years when it was all televote. And then the juries come back in sort of, I don't know, roughly 2010 time.
Yeah.
To sort of combat neighbour voting.
It was intense.
It's a lot of fun actually. I don't mind. It's not my place to mind. I'm happy that this song won. It's a lot of fun and and I do remember it turns out. So go Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Well done. What's she done now, you know?
Yeah, well. So, 2000. Sorry, that was a red herring. 2005 is Greece, my number one. 2006, Finland, Lordi. Natch, Lordi. Oh, hallelujah. And then we've got 2007, which is what started this entire segment. Serbia, Molitva. Do not remember. Definitely don't.
Don't remember her at all. Let's go look now.
Let's watch.
Kao ja, da je ime tvoje, moja jedina.
Well, that was a mullet of a cocktail.
Was it? So we obviously didn't remember that one, because if we had, that would have been featured in our backed up episode about the backing singers.
Yes.
Because they were something else. I am obsessed
with them. I call them the Farrah Fawcett.
Honestly, they just... So first of all, I don't remember this. And I know that I was watching this competition because, like I said, a guy that I went to uni with was representing Greece. But the thing that I do vaguely remember is my mum saying something about her wearing trainers, because I don't know whether a woman had worn trainers and a suit before. I don't know. I just, there's a vague thing of my mum going, well, you know, she could have made more of an effort. But the backing singers, before we move on to that, I actually really like the song, and her voice is fucking amazing. The stuff she can do, like, she is amazing. But the backing singers slowly sneak up behind her. They sort of meet in the middle and hold hands and then slowly walk towards her and then place their hands on her shoulder. And then she sort of walks around them. And this is 2/3 of the way through the song before they even sing anything.
Yeah, I checked the time. They didn't make a noise until 1:58.
And they're just sort of looking really concerned with their flicked Farrah Fawcett hairstyles.
Oh my God, why do they all look like Farrah Fawcett? Yeah. Why?
And then they just sort of, they just join in one of the choruses, and then I just can't even, and then they sort of hold hands at the end and they've got little hearts on the, like half a heart drawn on their hands so that it looks like a heart when they're holding hands. It was so weird. The backing singers were just weird. Because you could have had, it was just the creepy walking and then standing round her so that she had to sort of navigate through them and then come back round. I mean, maybe I might look up what the actual song means, because maybe it's relevant to that. But it just felt like they just got creepily close to her and she was like, oh no, can you not? And then she sort of had to go, oh, I've got to finish the song now, I better come back to the front. And then and then they were all just standing there. I don't even know what it was, but I'm obsessed with them. And yeah, if we had remembered this, this would definitely have been there, because it's the oddest backing group I've seen.
They're so weird. I mean, it'll be linked as ever.
Yeah.
Just give this one a watch, gang.
Because it's just...
I actually don't really have words for what I've just witnessed. It was a really great performance of a great song, but then peppered with these weird Farrah Fawcett people in suits with sashes, like they're Italian dictators, and just wandering around with intense stares and hands on shoulders, and like they're her better angels or whatever, or they're like, you know, the gods planning to smite her, or like, what were they? What was the point, Derek? What was the point? Of that.
What are you thinking, Derek? Honestly.
They don't even have to sing anything until the last minute of the song. They don't need to be there at all. Just let Maria do her thing.
It was so distracting. It was so distracting when they walked on. Because they just kind of snuck up behind her. And that's all I could look at. I wasn't looking at Maria at all. I was just going, who are these people?
No, it's like the, you know, it's like the, was it Poland? Like the Polish entry last year. I'm sure it was a wonderful song. I can't tell you anything about it because I spent 3 minutes trying to work out if she was topless.
Yes, it's very, very distracting, people. Very distracting.
Very distracting. Don't distract from the talent. Oh,
good Lord, that was hilarious.
Right, on to 2008.
Yes.
And it was Dima Bilan who won for Russia. Now, of course, we know Dima. He crops up in his all in white. Yeah. But I don't think I remember this particular song. I mean, this is going to be one of those ones where we watch it and we're like, remember that. But I can't equivocally say that.
I don't remember. I think I think when we looked at him before, we may have briefly touched on it. But I still, even though we probably briefly looked at the video, I still don't remember it.
I don't. No. But yeah, let's.
Well, let's look at it now.
Off we go. Yes, I get something to believe.
Yes, we remember this.
This is the reason why you shouldn't put too many gimmicks in your song. Because you forget the song, or rather we forget your song and we just remember the gimmicks. Because we did cover this, I think, or the ice skater. It's the one with the ice skater. If you are a Eurovision fan, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. But yeah, so the one that he did before, and it was the year before that, where it was the dead person out at the piano or whatever it was, you know, all the roses.
Oh yes.
And I think they were like, do you know what? That didn't work. So let's do everything this year. Let's have a man ice skating, which we think is an actual proper ice skater. And, a man playing the fiddle, and them just kneeling down a lot. Yeah. He undoes his shirt. He offers us a candle.
We just need to like take a moment to.
Yeah.
He picks a candle in a jar off the floor and offers it to us. What is that? Hilariously weird.
But it's like they've thrown absolutely everything at this, and I think that's why it won, because they were like, do you know what? What the hell is he going to do next year? If we don't let him win this year, he's going to go, like, he's going to set himself on fire. Yeah. And that is a health and safety nightmare. So for God's sake, let him win. Because it was just the earnest faces of them when they're like kneeling on the ground and shaking their hair about, and it's so earnest and worthy and ridiculous.
Takes itself very seriously. Also, did you notice when he does, like, before the candle, he does a very earnest, like, hand to the camera, like showing us his hand in earnest emotion. Freakishly tiny hands.
Tiny hands. Very small. He's like the opposite of Mick Hucknall.
I bet you that is how that comment came up on the podcast before. I mean, I don't remember.
I bet you
any money we're just recycling the same old material.
Oh, God. I do think, and we have kind of discussed this before, and it would be interesting to cover it maybe in a future episode, Michael, about the different eras of Eurovision. And I don't mean just like the decades. So I think there was a definite turning point in 97 with Eurovision. And I think there was another turning point sort of 2012, obviously, with Loreen. And then, like, there are just certain, we should go through and decide where they are. Just, like, look where we think they are. But this was from the period before that. So now you wouldn't have this. You wouldn't, and even though it's only, 12, 13 years ago?
Mm.
So it's not actually that long ago in the history of Eurovision, but it's so of a time. Those mid-noughties Eurovision entries were so like this. They sort of went, you know, all these sort of gimmicks you could throw in. And then when we got to the sort of 2012, 13, 14, it became about the big song and not so much about, and the sort of production behind it, rather than these gimmicks in the song. It became about the singer and the song. And I do think there are really distinct eras of Eurovision, which I just couldn't tell you exactly where they were at the moment. I need to sort of go back and look through, but that might be quite interesting to look at, because I do feel like this is of its time, this particular thing.
Of
but
time,
around
yeah.
that time, there was a lot of yeah, there was a lot of this kind of gimmickry. Gimmickry? Is that a word? Gimmickry. Gimmicks.
Yeah. There were gimmicks. Like, this is the same sort of era as the, you know, the what is it, the, you know, the Russian grandmas and the Polish milk churning and all of that silliness.
Yeah. And I do feel like when people, especially in this country, think of Eurovision, they either think of sort of like the Bucks Fizz, that kind of thing, or the kind of really country-based, you know, gimmicky stuff, like women in traditional dress. But I do think they think about the mid-noughties, that they're like, oh, yeah, you know, there was an ice skater or a man in a hamster wheel, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I do feel like there are different eras. But yeah, it was...
yeah, well, and this is sort of...
of its time.
What we talk about in respect to the fortunes of the United Kingdom is that we haven't left an era. We're still in the Katrina and the Waves era. Because we're like, well, it won before. Why wouldn't it win again? And actually, Eurovision has evolved twice since then. And so we need to start, you know, now it's about entering a song that could be number one in the charts. And we don't do that. And we're getting closer this year to doing that. We've entered a song which could make it into the charts, I would say. That's, you know, when people are like, oh, why don't we win anymore? Is it political? It's not political. Ireland don't do well anymore either, for the same reason.
Yeah.
They haven't evolved.
And Russia do well. So if it was political in a Eurovision competition, I'd be asking myself why Russia were doing well. Like, you can't use that as an excuse, I don't think. I think there are, you know, it's easy to sort of go, it's political, but then why are some countries doing really well?
Yeah.
If it's political.
I don't think if Russia does particularly well in the gay Olympics, and let's face it, the Olympics are pretty gay anyway, you could say it's political in any way.
And interestingly enough, when I was chatting to my new Eurovision friends, they do, you know, there is a thing about us not taking it seriously, like the British public not taking it seriously. And it does. I think it does affect how people think of us when we're coming into it, because they're like, "Oh, they've just done this because they think it will do well or whatever." But yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I wonder if we could do like era profiles. So we'll try and define the eras.
Yeah.
Talk about them for an episode and pick a best song of the era.
I'm all for it. Well, there you go. That's a future episode. Should we do our last one?
Yes. So the last song that I didn't recognise was from 2011. It's Azerbaijan, and the song is called Running Scared. I'm running upstairs now, running upstairs now.
That was just a bit...
It was a...
Yeah.
A bit blah.
Yeah.
I sort of vaguely remember it, having watched it now, but also I can see why I forgot it.
Yeah.
I mean... Yeah, it's all right.
This was the same year as Blue for us, and I actually thought theirs was all right, and I wouldn't have said this was so much better than the Blue one. Maybe I'm biased.
No.
It's
political, Jo. It's all political.
Yeah, it's all political. I mean, it's all right. It was of its time, but I wouldn't have said...
I think this speaks volumes. When I was like, oh, I think I remember this, I think when they do the key change, there's a big glitter curtain, like, you know, like a pyrotechnic curtain, and there was. And I'm like, oh, wow, I don't remember the song, but I do remember the pyrotechnics.
Yeah. If there's something that you'll remember, it's the pyrotechnics.
This is definitely at the end of that middle era, because next year it's Lorraine, and that starts a whole new genre, and you don't have any more blah, blah winners.
Yes. Yeah, because this is the last one that we don't remember.
Yes. Yeah. And then afterwards, you know, it's, you know, what's next? We've got Lorraine, and then we've got Emily DeForest, and then we've got Conchita, and then Mance, And oh my god, just looking back at Dima, by the way, Mance so modelled himself on Dima. you know, and then we've got Jamala and then Salvador and Netta, and you know, like we don't even do the name of the song or the country. I can just go Conchita or yeah. Mance or Netta, yeah. And you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That's where the competition is at now.
Yeah, I really want to watch some of these. The whole competition. We should do that. We should watch definitely 2001. I want to watch that whole contest. And that's what we should film, because I think our faces are going to be a treat watching that.
Definitely. Yeah. We'll call them delayed lives. Very delayed.
Oh, yeah. Well, this has been a treat.
Hasn't it? I mean, we have talked about motorways instead of starting the show. Yeah. I nearly died. Yes. There's been scaffolding.
It's all good. I think I didn't hear the scaffolding. This... Didn't hear it though. So you're all right.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is classic. It's up well there. Well done, us. Well, we've taken well over an hour of your time, gang.
Yeah.
And so we should probably let you go.
So have a lovely week.
You too. We'll be back. And next week, we'll hopefully have our act in gear.
Yes.
And we can talk to you more about Fantasy Eurovision / Ultimate Eurovision.
Yes.
And let you know what the plan is.
Cannot wait. See you then. Bye.
Au revoir.